The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
You may have to go to the table of contents, which will make it swifter for you, and find the book of Ruth. In Ruth, you will kindly turn to chapter 3, and we're reading from verse number 1. Ruth chapter 3, from verse number 1, and I titled today's message, How God Restored Ruth. Today's message has various parts, but at the end of the day, it will sit with a month of consecration. So Ruth chapter 3 from verse 1. Then Naomi, the mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lie down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Verse 5. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drank, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I'm Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid. Hey, today is today. For thou art a near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people that know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I'm thy near kinsman, howbeit there's a kinsman nearer than I. Can you say a lovely amen to the reading of the word? The book of Ruth has to do with tragedies and finally ending up in restoration. There was this woman by name Naomi, who was an Israelite and lived in Bethlehem, Judah. Because of hunger and some difficulties, she traveled and sojourned to the land of the Moabites so that she would find greener pastures over there. This story tells us that sometimes in seeking greener pastures, there can be some difficulties. And the Bible says that this woman and her husband, by name Elimelech, left Bethlehem, Judah, and made the land of their Moabites, their temporary abode. They had two sons, Malion and Chilion. And these two sons will get married to two Moabite women by name Ruth and Orpah. In the process of time, the sons of Naomi will die. And the women they had married were without children. So it's as if a generation was terminated. It was as if for Elimelech, we didn't hear so much about siblings, but as if for Elimelech, that was the end of it. So Ruth lost her husband, and she lost her two sons, which meant that Ruth and Orpah also lost their husbands. It was in the midst of the circumstances that Naomi asked the two daughters-in-law to return to the place, to their families, so that she would travel out from the land of the Moabites back into her country. There are certain instances when we go out somewhere in search of greener pastures, and it doesn't work, home sweet home. The wisest thing is to come home. And anybody who has come home as a result of that, I think you have made a wise decision. And can we clap to acknowledge your life and tell you, like Naomi and Ruth, you will make it. For those in the land seeking greener pastures that is working for them, hallelujah. May the Lord prosper your cause, increase you, lift you high, and make you see his glory. Shout amen to that. So Naomi decided to return to her people and dissuaded her daughters-in-law from following her. Orpah returned to her people, but not Ruth. Ruth said that now I'm part of you. Where you go, I'll go with you. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. And where you die, that's where I'll die. Where you are buried, that's where I'm buried. I mean, this level of commitment and loyalty is so high. For somebody to follow a woman who has lost a husband and has lost two sons, that should have gotten Ruth angry, that I want to marry into a family, that the family has challenges, but not Ruth. And some of us are quick to always judge and talk about curses and... But nobody talked about curses here. There was a purpose of God, and the purpose of God would be fulfilled. I was wondering how this purpose could have been fulfilled if Malion and Chilion were alive. But the long and short brings us to chapter 3. And in chapter 3, Ruth and Naomi were now in Bethlehem, Judah, unemployed. They didn't have any means of livelihood. They didn't have any income, but they had to support themselves. God is an amazing God. He will fix you when you need to be fixed. Shout amen, somebody. So Ruth had a relative who was very rich, and his name was Boaz. I like the way the name comes. There's somebody online who has taken the name Boaz from the Bible and giving it to his son, and I love the name. Boaz means in the strength of, or in him is strength. In other words, in the strength of God, or in God is strength. So Naomi said that this is the harvest season, and Boaz owns a farm, and they are harvesting barley. So I want you to wait. It is in the evening that they do that. And in the evening, that's when they do the winnowing. What is the winnowing? The winnowing has to do with separating the grains from the chaff. So you know, like it's done here with the maize, it's thrown into the air, the wind blows the chaff, and the solid material, the grains settle where they are needed. In the night in the east, the wind blows better, and it's cooler to do that kind of job. So they chose not to do it in the daytime, but to do the winnowing of the barley in the nighttime. And Naomi suggested to Ruth to join the harvesters. You see, when you are sitting alone and doing nothing, nothing happens in your life. But when you get involved with action, with labor in the kingdom of God, something will happen. I've always told you that don't be an unbees in the house of God. Don't be a person that is not engaged with any services in the house of God. So Ruth suggested to Naomi to join them and to offer service without letter of employment. Can I hear a solid amen from somebody? So the first point I want you to write down is Naomi's guidance to Ruth. It was through the guidance of Naomi that Ruth would break through. And it is through the guidance of the Holy Spirit that you and I will be restored. You and I will make it. I don't know how Naomi was led to ask her daughter-in-law to go out into the farm of Boaz and to join the workers in that place. But God also has a way of leading you and I so that we will discover his will and his purpose for our lives. For Naomi, she was simply telling Ruth that Bethlehem is a big place, Bethlehem, Judah. You need to be at the right place at the right time to meet the right people. This guidance will subsequently result in Ruth having a vocation, earning an income, and having a husband. As children of God, we need guidance. After salvation, we need guidance so we can follow. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I will not want many things, including the guidance of God. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Listen to the next line. And he leadeth me beside the still waters, not the rough waters. Not a place where there's tension and fight and struggles and fight by political parties before you make it. He leadeth me. If somebody is leading, then you are the follower. You have to follow. The leader takes one step, you take that step. And our leader is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he's a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. So he spreads his light in our path. But as for the lamp, we carry it, and every step we take, he throws light over there. If you look at modern technology, the GPS, when the drivers are driving, whether it's the Uber, the Bolt, or even people's individual private cars, they just key the destination into the system, and then the GPS maps out a route. There may be several different routes, maybe six routes by which you can reach there. But the GPS is able to determine where there's traffic and sometimes can help you avoid even traffic. So there will be occasions where people miss it and take the wrong route. The GPS will not condemn you, but will help you relink and come onto another route that will take you to where you are. As children of God, we have promises in the Bible. One of them is situated in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11. Remember, the whole chapter of Isaiah 58 concerns the right way to fast. So in Isaiah 58, verse 11, there is this promise given to us that the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. The early part says, thou shalt guide thee the Lord shall guide thee continually. In other words, Yahweh will always show you the way. God is saying, I will show you the way to go, so that you experience the fullness of my blessings. In this small verse is located a multitude of blessings. So following the guidance of God, in this verse it says God will satisfy you in the midst of drought. Then in addition, he will give you fat bones. You see, when your bones are fat and there's even drought and your skin is reduced, your fat bones still keep your weight. And your fat bones still make you look good. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Receive the blessing of fat bones. Say a big amen to that. Then the Bible says, I'll make you like a watered garden as I lead you. A watered garden means a lush green garden, vibrant, healthy, and well irrigated, with great refreshment, even in desert conditions, where the environment is dry and arid, and there is lack of water, and the sun scorches in the day, and in the night is terribly cold, God said, I will manage to make you fresh and green. You'll be vibrant and healthy, and you will look well irrigated at all times. In fact, your irrigation will be to such an extent that there will be refreshing in your life. Oh, you shall be like a watered garden. And the last blessing says you shall be like an unfailing irrigation. It talks about a spring whose waters fail not. When you look at where springs take their source, it's as if it's like boiling water. The water is coming out of the ground, as if it looks like it's boiling and it flows out. God says other springs may dry up in the dry season, but your spring will never dry up, because it will produce water throughout the year. I thought somebody will receive this better. Oh, receive this better. Your finances will be like the spring whose waters fail not. Your health will be like the spring whose waters fail not. So I'm still on point one. And in point one, We are looking at the guidance of God and relating it to the type of guidance that Naomi gave to Ruth. And we're using Isaiah 58:11, the Lord shall guide thee continually. In Psalm 32, verse 8, it says, I will instruct thee. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide you with mine eye. The instructions of God will give you understanding. And the understandings of God will make you act wisely. So God starts with the expression, I will instruct you. In other words, I'll give you understanding and I will enable you to walk wisely. And teach thee in the way which thou should go. You may have come to the crossroads. You don't know whether to go right or left, forward or return. God says, I am with you, and I will teach you the way that thou should go. I will guide you with my eyes. Look at Isaiah 48:17. They all talk about the guidance of God. Isaiah 48:17. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way thou shouldest go. I am the Lord thy Redeemer. I bring you back when they have taken you away as a captive. I'm the Holy One of Israel. In other words, the promise I'm giving you comes from a holy God, and I'm not kidding you. I am the Lord thy God. God is establishing his relationship with you because God is a relational God, and he doesn't do things by heart. He does things by relationship. Which teacheth thee to profit. He teacheth you to make profit. You may be frying donuts or bullfrog. May God teach you how to profit. You may be selling groundnuts. May God teach you how to profit. You may be trading in iced water and chilled soft drinks. May God teach you how to profit. You may be a hairdresser. You may braid hair. I say, may God teach you how to profit. The amen is not good enough. I say, may God teach you how to profit. I didn't hear an amen. Someone is not listening to me. I didn't hear an amen. So he says he will lead us and teach us to profit. So Ruth was guided. And after her guidance, she benefited from what Naomi said. Number two. So this now is in verse 3. Number 2. Number 2. Are you there? Oh, did I hear anybody? I said, are you there? In number 2, the Bible says, you shall wash yourself. Verse 3, wash thyself therefore. Wash thyself means cleanse yourself. Consecrate yourself. In John 13, Jesus told his disciples, amen, that sit down, I'm coming to wash your feet. So he fetched a basin of water. He put a towel around his waist and went from disciple to wash and cleanse their feet. Then when he got to Peter, Peter said, oh, don't, master, you are too big to wash my feet. Jesus said, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, you are not cleansed. You are not part of this consecration. Then Peter said, oh, then wash all my body. Oh, yeah, there are some people, they can't talk. Jesus knows what to do, so leave it to Jesus. But he's trying to digest. Jesus said, he who has been washed thoroughly once does not need another wash. In other words, if you are born again, you don't need to be born again again. But he needs to have the parts that were contaminated washed. So he needs to probably have the hands or the feet washed. So Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. In Exodus chapter 40, verse 31, Exodus 40, 31, Moses consecrated and washed Aaron and his sons, thus preparing them to minister in the presence of God. So he was preparing them to minister in the presence of God, because he knew if they were not ready, they would be killed. The Bible says, they that have this hope purify themselves. If you have the hope of the second coming of Christ, you purify yourself. You are waiting for the Master. You don't know when he will appear. You don't take things for granted, because he could appear today, he could appear tomorrow, he could appear next week or next month. You don't know. So the important thing is to keep yourself clean and purify yourself on a daily basis. Jesus told the disciples in John 15, 3, that you are clean through the words which I have spoken. And one benefit of being in church or listening to the word of God in general, or studying the word, is that you are clean. You are made purer. You are cleansed by the word of God. Have you not read in Ephesians, for ye are cleansed and washed by the washing of the water by the word? So one function is, as I'm preaching the word, I am being cleansed. You are also being cleansed. If you know you are being cleansed, let your amen reach the heavens. So we are being cleansed from envy. We are being cleansed from jealousy. We are being cleansed from grudges. We are being cleansed from bitterness. We are being cleansed from unforgiveness. We are being cleansed from slandering, backbiting, hypocrisy, pride, and sexual sins. We are being cleansed from contamination with satanic spirits that we may have contacted. Somebody misled us, or we deliberately entered into covenants with them, and you know, we were giving markings on our foreheads and on our shoulders and on our backs. We are being cleansed. Shout amen, somebody. So God cleanses us from things that he can't accept. Things that have the likelihood of hindering us from entering into the kingdom of God. Today we are here to be cleansed. If you believe the cleansing has already started and you'll be a better person by the end of the message, shout louder, put your hands together. Thank you. May the Lord hear your cry and cleanse all of us. Number three, still in verse 3. After wash thyself therefore, he says, anoint thee. Anoint thyself. Anoint yourself. First of all, listen to guidance. Secondly, cleanse yourself, wash yourself. Thirdly, anoint thyself. In the night when I was praying and preparing for this, I anointed myself. Tell the next person, anoint thyself, anoint thyself. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20, the Bible says, so David arose from the ground, washed, anointed himself, and changed his clothes. And he came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he had requested, they set food before him, and he ate. This was when David had sinned with Bathsheba, and Bathsheba was pregnant. And the prophet of God said that the child to be born would die, and David tried to pray against it, and God said, no, the child would die. So David wore sackcloth and sat in ashes and wouldn't eat for a number of days. And then he heard the news that the child that was born had died. So after David heard that, he arose from where he was seated. Listen to me. There are things that when God has done or allowed to happen and is done, there will be a period of mourning, but learn to get up. Can I hear an amen? Learn to get up from where you are, because the world is not waiting for you. You will still need to eat. You will still need to drink. You will still need to pay your rent. And you will still need to pay for your transportation. So there's a period you must arise. I met a woman that lost her husband. She wore black for 2 years, as if the world has stopped and waiting for her. Recently, I spoke to another lady who lost her husband. And the family was so nice. Within 3 months, they asked her to put away the black attire because there were 5 children to be catered for. And if she was wearing black and mourning for 1 year, what would the children eat? Tell the next person, arise from the ashes, arise. So David arose from the ground, then he washed himself, sanctified himself. Then he anointed himself and changed his clothes. We are coming. And he came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Tragedy may have befallen us, but go to the house. Some people like to sit at home for 3 months, 6 months to be visited. I don't want that thing. They want people to travel from far and wide and come and say, oh, we are sorry. You need some of it. You do. Early part in the shock, you need it. But get up out of the ashes. Organize yourself. Move to the house of God and go and worship. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. The Bible didn't say sit down and let people come from your village and greet you. Some will say, oh, Hishia, Kaya, and Kobebia. Hey, I'm a banana on Nihua. Listen, if God will bless you, the money will chase you. I didn't hear an amen. Money will chase you to where you are. You may sit at home and have nothing. So David rose up, washed himself, anointed himself, went into the temple and he worshipped and requested to be given food. Eat! I called somebody who lost their husband recently, and the husband was still at the mortuary. I said, have you eaten? She said, yes. She said, my mother pounded fufu for me. I said, eat it with chicken. Eat it. What has eating got to do with mourning for the bereaved? Don't I need strength to cry? Let them put crabs in the lye soup. Let them put wele in the lye soup. Let them put adode in the lye soup. Let them put beef, especially tolo beefy. Makotaya kataya. Mourn the person. You may institute a day or dedicate something in the memorial, but eat. Tell the next person, eat, eat. Yenio. If what I'm teaching is not from the Bible, then leave it. In Micah chapter 6 verse 15 is the opposite of what I'm talking about, really. Micah 6 15, Israel has sinned, God was angry with them, and God said that you will plant olives, but your olive shall cast her fruit before her time. Micah 6 15, he says you will sow, but you will not reap. You will tread the only olive, but you will not anoint thyself with oil. May that not happen to you. May you not farm and not see profit. May you not sow good seeds and not see a good harvest. May your vine not cast a fruit before her time. Anoint thyself means get the right fragrance unto yourself. Do not look pale and dry. Jesus told the people of his time, don't be like the scribes and Pharisees. When they fast, they make their face long, they look dry, their lips are cracking and dry, and so that everybody will see that they are fasting. And when you see them, don't talk, because they are fasting. He says, anoint thyself. So find some nice fragrance and smell good. It's better to smell good than to smell bad because you say you are mourning. Number four, put thy raiment upon thee. That's the instruction that Naomi gave to Ruth. Remember in 2 Samuel 12:20, after David anointed himself, he changed his clothes. Now Naomi is telling Ruth, put thy raiment upon thee. In other words, get dressed properly for the occasion. Look your best. Dress appropriately for the interview. Look sharp, decent, and presentable. If you are an ambassador of Christ, look like one. If you are representing the kingdom, look like a representative of the kingdom. I didn't hear an amen. There was this case that a pastor talked to me about. He invited a guest preacher, and one of his pastors was offended because, number one, he didn't dress properly. There is a formal casual that is excellent, but his was below formal casual. And so when the minister was prophetically addressing him, he didn't address him with the honor that he deserved. I have difficulty with that minister because you must treat everybody well. But you see, there's also an honor reserved to one who is called of God. And he didn't get it. So when the service was over, he approached his pastor with one or two of his friends and said that they were not pleased with the ministry of the guest preacher. And his pastor was quite disturbed and called me. I said, okay, this is what you do. Let the guest preacher for some time not come around your place. But talk to your spiritual son. He must dress properly. So Naomi said, dress properly, dress well for the occasion. Don't look shabby. Don't look carelessly dressed. Look your best. Be appropriately presentable for the occasion. Look sharp. Look decent. Because a door is about to open. Oh, somebody say amen. Oh, let me hear a better amen. If I don't dress well, it's a poor PR for you people. It means you people are not taking good care of me. But I testify that you people are catering for me very well. Can you put your hands together? Very, very well. If the president of Namibia comes here and is not well dressed, it doesn't represent his people very well. If you visit your ward in school and you don't present yourself well, your ward is not happy that you have come there. He would wish that you cut short the visit and leave the campus. I'm telling you the truth. So it's not just for you. It is for others to emulate. It was for others to glorify God, because you are looking your best. Number five, still in verse 3. Naomi told Ruth, get thee down to the floor. So still in verse 3, say, get thee down to the floor. I like it. Maybe get thee down to the floor and boogie or what? In other words, position yourself strategically. Go down to the threshing floor where Boaz will be found tonight. When you are there, Boaz's path will cross your path. And your attention will be drawn to Boaz. Boaz must say, this is the bone of my bone, and this is the flesh of my flesh. May God guide us to the next event, that he will strategically position us. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. I didn't hear an amen. Shout amen. I didn't hear an amen. I had to preach at a wedding yesterday, because this was an adopted daughter to her family, and she has always desired that I should come and preach at a wedding, but they didn't confirm to her that I'll come. So they told the apostle that if he would allow that to happen. The apostle said, oh, I've known this man, let him come. So I went there. When I finished preaching, the congregation was really blessed. Just there, about three doors opened for me. Oh, I didn't hear that. Can I? God was strategically positioning you. So when I was going, I dressed nicely, because I was representing True Vine Charismatic Church International. Amen. 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 Can we put our hands together, please? Strategically position yourself. Number six, wait patiently. I like that. So say, get thee down the floor. Then the next one says, but make not thyself known unto Boaz, that is the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. Ruth, don't rush. Otherwise, you will spoil the whole thing. Ruth, don't move ahead of God. Ruth, take your time. Just strategically position yourself. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Don't make yourself known to him until he has finished eating and drinking. In other words, Naomi knew Ruth very well. That as for Ruth, if his stomach was empty and you went there to negotiate with him, it didn't favor you. But after Boaz has eaten and is relaxing and he has his toothpick with him, oh, when you come, he says, oh, my daughter, have you arrived? Oh, my sister, sit down, let's talk. What can I do for you? So Ruth was supposed to wait for the appropriate timing and introduce herself at the right time. She was not supposed to be hasty, and she was not supposed to rush. There are certain things, when you rush, you spoil the purpose of God. if you rush too much to seek for a visa when you are not really prepared, you spoil your own record. When you take your time, you'll find that it will go through smoothly for you. Do not act ahead of your time. Do not be in a hurry. Take your time. Ruth, let him finish eating. There are some people, you finish doing something and you're walking by and says, can I see you? And so, hang on, give me 10 minutes. Can you wait around here? After 2 minutes, they'll come. They're in a hurry. When you do that, I'll give you an answer that you don't like. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So don't do that. You will lose the opportunity because you are forcing the person. Now, I like the seventh point on which I'm about to end. And then we'll go back and pray. The second, seventh point is, take note of where he rests tonight. What was number one? Allow the guidance of God. Is that not it? Number two, wash thyself. Number three, anoint thyself. Number four, put thy raiment upon thee. Number five, get thee down to the floor. Number six, wait patiently. And number seven is what? Take note of where he rests tonight. That is Boaz. Take note of where he will finally want to rest. And spend the night and sleep. Because he was sleeping on the farm with his workers. So when they get up, they continue. Mark the place where he shall lie down tonight, because that is very significant. After he has eaten and he has rested for a while, he will settle to sleep. Don't say a word. Then Ruth said, go in and uncover his feet. You see, it was cold in the night in the Mediterranean climate. So they had thick blankets to cover themselves. And Ruth was asked to wait till Boaz was asleep so that she would go around and pull the end of Boaz's blanket and partially cover herself. Says, go in and uncover his feet and lay down at his feet. Then he said, listen to what he will tell you. Ruth uncovering Boaz's feet was like coming under the authority and submission of Boaz. So Boaz woke up. And Boaz noticed that Ruth was sleeping there. Then you know what Ruth told Boaz? Can you cover me with the blanket? Listen to it. I was trying to find a modern equivalent. Can a young woman who cannot propose to a gentleman but who likes the gentleman pick the t-shirt of the gentleman and wear? Can the lady seeing that the gentleman likes sporting activity and he gets to the field, he comes dressed, you know, not ready for soccer, but he changes and his clothing are lying there. And the lady says, can I hold the attire for you? Would that not be a nice romantic gesture to say, I like you and cover me with your blanket? Oh, come on. I like the way you people are smiling, as if I'm not preaching from the word of God. But I'm asking you, would that be in order? Would it be in order if the lady invited the gentleman for lunch, and while they were eating, then they would be talking, but she won't talk directly about marriage? Reverend Blanks, do you have your permission to go ahead? Because the thing is, it's in the Bible. She went to lay by the feet of Boaz. Then she covered herself partially. When Boaz woke up, he said, Boaz, now you cover me. Cover me, Boaz. Kemama hangi. Some people will say, Pastor, the examples you are giving is okay, but can't I ask for transportation? He should cover me with TNT. Please, don't take your poverty into any relationship. Otherwise, you will lose it. Oh, my mother is sick and she's at the hospital. And there's no relative to take care. So the bills are going up. And I said I'll call you since you are my boyfriend, so that you will sponsor the rest of the ticket because there's a scam to be done. Keep your poverty to yourself. Is there not a better way of saying that? Ask the next person, please. That what can we do in modern times that the ladies can indicate to us that they like us? Sister Mefa, help us, help us. Minambanya Mefi, raise your hand. Today is a class. Yes, I'm seeing Brother Odai. Go ahead. They should release cash. Okay. Who agrees that the men must release cash? Then who else? I want an answer, madam. If Ajofwe call Bill a couple, if he asks for money too quickly, they will run away. There are some of you, as soon as somebody testifies that, oh, somebody blessed me, then the next 23 hours, you are placing all your needs at their feet. They won't testify to you again. So how can you make the guys know that they like you? Great, tell me something. Tell me something. I mean, how? Great. You call one day and say you bought lunch. Like watch it garnished with Gary and Macaroni with very tender willy and an egg sitting right on top of it. Oh, Mashokataya. With a nice fish and a little meat to balance it. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. If we don't get practical, we'll be out of place. There's nothing wrong if you walk to your pastor and say, Pastor, I think I like this gentleman. And what? Oh, yeah! Yeah! I'm wiping my face. Somebody has an exam to write, but the person is not leaving the church because of this message. If we don't do that, a wise person does not go straight minton kebuanshi. No, it will bounce off. Because there must be something he or she must like about you. There must be a little likability about you that will help to have access into your heart. So you can talk to your pastor and say, Pastor, that's the lady to the pastor. I think I like this gentleman. What do you think about it? Pastor will smile and say, can we talk? So and so, let's talk. then pastor can talk to you and keep it. That's it. Because in counseling, we are supposed to manifest the ethic of confidentiality. So if I also feel that the gentleman looks like a suitor, then I'll say, oh, somebody's interested in you. Have you not noticed it? Then I'll say, open your eyes. Then you say, shine your eyes. Then I say, go and pray. Because I think somebody is interested in you. And if you are interested and you pray about it and you feel led, just as Naomi spoke to Ruth and she felt led and she did what she was instructed to do, then it could culminate in something good. That is all. The pastor is not a matchmaker. He's just acting in the capacity of Ruth. Say, if I tell pastor now, I'll be the next topic. No, I teach on relationships, so I have my examples already. Somebody says, Bob, I'll be no issue. But if that were so, from the Bible, Ruth would have gone straight. But she kept touching the heart of Boaz. And in the morning, Boaz said that, Ruth, you are young and you could have gone for a younger man, whether rich or poor. But I'm a little elderly, but you chose to come to me. In other words, you have shown some unusual love and compassion toward me. They are all in the scriptures. She said, you could have gone for a young man who is rich or poor, and that he looks just good, and you'll be proud of him. But you chose not, and you came to me. And then Boaz said, I do not want the lineage of Elimelech to be wiped away. I want to leave something in his memory, so when they are counting, they will count that. So Boaz, out of compassion and kindness, accepted Ruth. Not out of sympathy, like any feeble mabo. Pastor Beneba, any feeble mabo, ni any po na ye. Hey, don't marry such a person. Pastor, no me ma mi ebo. He wa ke ba eba ya foson nke o. Ben kele ba inshi mokoni. Ma fe ma mi ma ale. Kwe. Be careful that you don't marry out of sympathy. But Boaz married out of his kindness. First of all, he gave some of the barley stalks of it that was harvested to Ruth and said, take it to your mother-in-law. There are some of you who have never given your mother-in-law who is alive a half peswa before. Today I'm on you. You feel that anything given to an in-law is a waste. Sometimes, they may have the audacity to reject you before marriage. They may have the audacity to fight you before and after marriage. But have this grace in you that you remember your mother-in-law. Remember your father-in-law. Remember some of your in-laws. I think you should put your hands together. Sometimes the reason why they fight you after the death of your husband is because you fail to honor them. There are some ungrateful persons. No matter what you do, they will still fight you. It doesn't matter. But let God use your kindness to protect you. Oh, come on, say amen, somebody. Somebody has raised the daughter, the son, and has educated the person to that level, paid for hospital bills, school fees. Then you come and just possess the lady and say they should not come near your house. There's something wrong with you. you need psychiatric examination. Hallelujah. If you have been blessed by the word, why don't you clap to God? In conclusion, Boaz took Ruth on the basis of kindness and compassion. Compassion is love in action. Listen to me. Can I speak to the young men who will be getting married? You may get a lady who has everything, but there may be one or two things, just one or two things, that may not be available. In the circumstances, if God has satisfied you and that can be ignored, then we can go ahead. Because you yourself, you are not perfect. You yourself, there's a fault with you. You yourself, you are not the perfect tool. So why do you insist this person comes, you say it's not perfect. That person comes, it's not perfect. Look, when many women came after Vashti, but the king had to settle on one. And when this young lady who has Jewish background appeared, what's her name? Esther. She says, this is the one I like. You must allow the Holy Ghost to witness with your spirit. If you major only on externalities and you want perfect this and perfect that and perfect, there are some people, their beauty is inside. 10 years after marriage, it will appear. Oh, am I preaching the word? It's inside. And sometimes some of the things you get attracted to, and the person has a bushy, nice hair, and you know, grown in an afro way like the Commodores in 1960, and they're looking cute. Some of them now, all their hair have fallen off. Just left with a little motorway in the center there. Are you going to divorce? I was looking at pictures of bodybuilders who have acted films and been successful in the international arena when they were younger, 25, 23, 32. They were strong, and now they were being shown when they were 66 and 70. And they were looking leaner than me, lean meat. I said, I like the way I am. Whether summer or winter, I am the same. Some things will change in the life of the person. So look into the supernatural with the eye of faith, like Abraham, instead of like Lot, who looked towards Sodom and chose, and later on the children were in trouble. Having preached this message, I prophesy that 6 marriages will be contracted quickly, both online and inside. Quickly, quickly, by the grace of God, by the anointing of God, right bone to right person. Brother Apostle, thanks for the support. You were the only one who got up to support me. God bless you, Brother Apostle. The difficult thing is to have children who are not being taken down the aisle, and they have grown, and they are crossing 40. Very difficult. We feel for you. So we organize meetings to help each other and to pray with you. In this period of consecration, I'm going to invite you. And I'm going to anoint everyone, whether married or unmarried, whether you don't want to marry or not, I will anoint you. So you get good friends. Yes, so you get good friends. Some people are pointing to some people. I said I will anoint everybody with my heart and do it with passion. So God will bless all of us. Oh, come on. Come on. Brother Kuma. Brother